The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Be it superstition or just an apparition, you suddenly appear inside my heart. Does this strange romance stand?
Welcome to From the Bleachers. I'm your host, as always, Seamus Clancy, coming to you from the wonderful Bleeding Green Nation Radio Podcast. Now we are in the doldrums of the offseason. Yes, June 1st was yesterday. I'm recording this Wednesday afternoon, early Wednesday afternoon, June 2nd. So post-June 1st, a lot of moves can happen in the NFL. This might be the end of, like, officially, finally, Jason Alshon Jeffrey and Malik Jackson being off the Eagles. So we will see that move probably coming in the coming days and maybe next week. But I'm not going to really talk about real X's and O's stuff right now. Obviously, there's not a lot going on. I could do a podcast like, are the Eagles going to trade for Julio Jones? No, the Eagles aren't going to trade for Julio Jones. Would I like that? Actually, maybe. I mean, you want to surround Jalen Hurts with as much talent as possible, give him a chance to be a true franchise quarterback, and they will have possibly three first-round picks next year. I know Julio Jones is a little older, but still maybe the most dominant receiver in the league. First ballot Hall of Famer, guy here who would come in, and if you pair him with Jalen Reagor, who is your slot receiver, and he can have that pressure off for him after a up-and-down and fairly disappointing rookie season. I know it was injury-plagued, but still disappointing. And then you have Devontae Smith, who comes in and is a number two receiver and still could be like the most dynamic rookie receiver since Deshaun for the Eagles. It'd be transformative. Now, is it going to happen? No, but, you know, is it the smartest move? No, but I'm here for the vibes. I'm here to have some fun. And that's probably, that goes right into our topic for today. So I do a weekly mailbag feature for BGN. I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, if you like this podcast, go read it every week. It's the Weapon X mailbag. Obviously named after the great Brian Dawkins. You know, I'm a huge Wolverine fan, X-Men, Marvel fan. And, of course, Brian Dawkins is my favorite Eagles of all time. Ricky Waters, sneaky too cool for the Eagles. Yeah, we could talk about it. I don't have Ricky Waters on my list. I did a top 10 list. My boy Ducky over here comment on here. So when I do these, I'm recording this on YouTube, so I keep plugging it out there. I do go live on YouTube. I don't really, like, publicize it just because I want to get it over with and do it and, you know, I'm not making this live podcast. It's not a live podcast, live video. It's not like I'm doing this post-draft or, you know, on a Thursday night before the Eagles play on Sunday. Maybe during the regular season as I'm getting more into this YouTube stuff, we will do that. But today I am talking about – but first I want to plug last podcast 2 weeks ago, wore a Sixers jersey, Allen Iverson, wearing another Allen Iverson jersey T-shirt today, representing the Sixers who were attempting to close out their first-round series against the Washington Wizards tonight. Today's topic, again, going for the vibes. Coolest Eagles ever. This was inspired, as I was talking about the mailbag, a mailbag question I got this week who said, is Jalen Hurts the coolest Eagles player ever? No. I mean, I'm obviously the big Jalen Hurts guy, and, you know, he's cool. He's awesome. His leadership, his vibes, his aura, his juice around him is incredible. But obviously, he started four games as an Eagle. We can't really put him up there yet. Maybe if he has an unbelievable season this year and, you know, proves to be the franchise quarterback, he could go up there in the top 10, maybe the top five. But again, as a huge Jalen Hurts guy, it's way too early for this. So I made a quick 10 Eagle ranking for this. Obviously, it skewers a little newer. And I'm kind of having guys, the oldest guy I have played in like the early to mid 80s into the late 80s. You know, I'm 27 years old, so I do well represent the Buddy Ryan era, that whole era of Eagles football. And also, obviously, I've become a fan since I was, you know, 6 years old, really. So for the last 20 or so years. But let's kick it off. Number 10 could be a little bit of a controversial choice. He's someone who's dynamic, exhilarating. You'll never forget watching him play football, but there are some off-the-field things that are understandably taken away from that. So Michael Vick, you didn't have the dogfighting stuff. I think I'm a big dog lover. I know a lot of people are out there who absolutely hate him because of it. I think he went to jail and served his time and actually served a little bit more of a sentence than he would have normally because of his status as an NFL player. So obviously someone who could have been in the top five, maybe, but that kind of that knocks him down for me. But Michael Vick, in 2010, as captivating as a talent as I've ever seen in the National Football League. We have the Monday Night Massacre in Washington. We have him coming in relief against Green Bay in week one. We have the iconic miracle at the New Meadowlands. Michael Vick could do it all, is, you know, maybe the most talented player we've ever seen. It's a thing where, you know, Andy Reid got him to end late in his career. If Andy gets him, you know, Michael Vick was the first overall pick in 2001. And obviously the Eagles had Donovan McNabb. I'm not saying we should have had Michael Vick instead of Donovan McNabb. But if Andy Reid was to have Michael Vick early in his career the same way that he has Patrick Mahomes now, I don't think it's crazy that we're going down in history saying Michael Vick is one of the best quarterbacks of all time. That's how captivating of a talent he was. And it really just lasted that one season. I know he started some in 2011, and that was an up-and-down season. He got hurt. Vince Young finished up the year. 2012, a disastrous season. Nick Foles ends up finishing the year. And then 2013, they have that first Chip Kelly game that Michael Vick was a part of. It was unbelievable. They're going speed, 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 and they put up a ton of points on Washington in that first half. Obviously, that season ultimately gets known for Nick Foles more than anything when he comes in relief after Vick again gets injured. So it was a short-lived period of excitement, but how exciting it was to have Michael Vick in Midnight Green. Well, I guess, and also Kelly Green, that his first game, that wasn't his first game, he played in 2009. But his, you know, first moment really taking over as the quarterback of the Eagles in week one in 2010, where they wore those throwback jerseys to honor the 50th anniversary of the 1960 NFL championship team. The last time they wore Kelly Green jerseys, I'm sure lots of fans out there are still clamoring for the Eagles to bring that back. Number 10, we have our first player from the Eagles Super Bowl team on this list, Jason Peters. Jason Peters, Brian Dawkins, my favorite player ever, maybe the most dominant Eagles player I've seen in my lifetime. A surefire first ballot Hall of Famer, the best left tackle in the NFL for a while. Just a complete BA. I don't know if I could say that word. I'm weird with curses on here. I don't know what I can and can't get away with. So we'll say this. That is one mean MF-er. Just, you know, think of the vibes he had in that Super Bowl season. Yes, he didn't play in the Super Bowl, but, you know, that picture of him on the plane ride back from Minnesota with the Lombardi Trophy, you know, next to him on the plane, carrying it around, having a cigar in his mouth. What a cool guy. And then you have on the, you know, Super Bowl parade, he's wearing that throwback Ryan Dawkins jersey. It's just incredible. And those are off-the-field things and more secondary things. But obviously an incredible player, a fearsome player, the best lineman in Eagles history, a guy that will go down as an all-time Eagles great. It's unfortunate the way the last handful of years Peters' career has played out. Since the Super Bowl, where people are knowing him as this guy who's hanging around. Why are the Eagles paying him this money? Why are they keeping him around? Why are they starting him over Andre Dillard? He gets hurt every play. He has false starts, this, this, and that. I get that, and I feel bad. I wish Peters retired already, because I think it takes a hit on his ultimate legacy, not for me, but for the Eagles general and public, especially fans are a little bit younger than me. I'm 27, just turned 27 in May. So some people don't really remember his early years in Philadelphia, where he was a, you know, first team All-Pro player and just as dominant as a lineman we've seen in Philadelphia, and really one of the most dominant linemen in NFL history, to be frank. And, you know, I think I've told this story before, but in my short-lived time as a real reporter, I'm not a real reporter. I know people say, like, oh, you have a blue check mark on Twitter. You're a writer. I'm not a reporter. I'm a guy who writes on the internet. I do social media work. I blog. I have fun. That's my personality. That's my brand. I make a living doing it, and it is what it is. I'm not BLG. I'm not Jimmy Kemsky. I'm not Walter Cronkite over here. But in the 2014 season, so Chip's second season, I was interning for the Philadelphia Daily News Bangkok. It was, you know, life-changing internship that, you know, opened all these doors for me as a writer in the online media industry. And if it's not for that internship, I'm not where I am now. So I'm thankful for that. But the first Eagles practice I'm attending, I'm sitting there and I watch, you know, you're waiting for the players to go off the field and get into the locker room at the practice. You go in the locker room and you get the quotes you need from players. You know, you talk to this player, you talk to this player. There's big scrums around the most famous players. Then maybe if you need to do a smaller profile, you slip away and ask a guy one-on-one questions, which I've done before. And the first player off the field is Jason Peters. And he has his, you know, shoulder pads and helmet off. You know, if you played football in, you know, grade school or high school, you know, you throw your helmet in between your shoulder pads after practice walking off the field. And he has that and he's jogging off and he has this tattered undershirt on that. And he must wear for every practice. That's this good luck charm, you know, dating back years and years, whenever he was in college or played for the Bills, whatever it was. And it was so ripped and tattered that it looked like he was wearing a cape. Like he was a superhero, or maybe more of an anti-hero, given how nasty and fierce he was on the field. And he was jogging off. And I know he's not listed this, but it felt like in that moment, he was like 6'9", 385 pounds, just this massive hulking human being. And man, I was just in awe. I've seen Joel Embiid in locker rooms. I've interviewed a lot of players. I've interviewed someone who will be on our list later in Randall Cunningham. I've interviewed a lot of players in my time, especially when I was working for the Daily News, doing some work from USA Today. I talked to a lot of players around the Eagles over the years, players in Philadelphia sports, Cole Hamels, whatever. I have never been starstruck ever, except in that moment with Jason Peters, where that guy was just, I was like, this guy, I watched him growing up on Sundays. He's this dominant presence. He looks like he could just step on my, I'm 6 foot tall. He could just step on my chest and obliterate me without even really trying. Ultimate coolness. What a cool player. I hope younger Eagles fans, people that are younger than me, like I said, I'm 27, really realize how important he was to the Eagles being, you know, consistently good from the Andy Reid era through the Doug Peterson era, and now, or I guess in the Nick Sirianni era, but a tremendous, tremendous player. Number eight, we have someone from my childhood. Running back Brian Westbrook. Westbrook hops onto the scene, and what would that be? The 2002 season. He's a part of that, the original three-headed monster that the Eagles had between Deuce Daly, Grell Ballcarter, and Westbrook himself. And Westbrook's this local product. He played for Villanova. It's people who have Villanova ties, fans of Villanova basketball, obviously cling to this guy. He has that legendary punt return against the Giants, miracle at the Meadowlands, number two. The punt return touchdown that seals the win for the Eagles, you know, instant classic moment for the Eagles. I have that. Well, I don't have it, but in my parents' basement in South Philly, they have, you know, him running down the sideline with the ball and the punter diving and missing, signed by Westbrook, hanging up and, you know, kind of a, you know, I don't like the word man cave, but basically like the sports den in the basement of my childhood home. So just a cool player. Still is involved in Eagles media. He hosts, co-host or frequent guest, I want to say it, on the Adam Lefkoe Show podcast, Return to Sports Bleacher Report. Shout out to Adam, who is a recurring guest. He's been on the podcast a couple of times. Maybe I'll have Adam on before the Eagles starts. Huge Jalen Hurts guy like myself. But Westbrook was unbelievable. And I think back to that 2003 season where he really established himself as the Eagles starting running back going forward. Staley was gone. Buckholder was in a reserve role and became this captivating player who was just as good as a receiver as he was as a running back. And that was the year the Eagles first unveiled black alternate jerseys. So everyone wanted a kid. So I'm 9 going on 10, however old I was. And every kid wants a black jersey. And the hardest jersey to get in town, any sport, was a black Brian Westbrook jersey. And you know, I'm privileged enough that I got one for Christmas. I thank my parents for that. I'm very lucky and fortunate that they could give that to me. But Westbrook, at that peak in 2003, he was the coolest Eagles in town. Every kid's favorite, so captivating, so electric, so dynamic. A player who would be, you know, like some players on this, would be even better now in today's NFL than he was in 2003. Yes, Andy Reid was ahead of the curve on, you know, this West Coast, you know, utilizing running backs as a receiver. But now he would have, I mean, he had catches seasons where he had not caught 90 balls. But now would be electric, even more so. Christian McCaffrey type player would be as good as Christian McCaffrey. He'd be the number one player drafted in fantasy football if 2003 Brian Westbrook was coming into the 2021 season. So all in love for the world for Westbrook. Great player. How can you dislike him? Who dislikes Brian Westbrook? No. Number seven. I don't want to cause a scene with this. He is my favorite athlete of all time. He's awesome. He's the best. I have stuff framed with him all around me in my parents' home here in my apartment here. It's not a slight because I'm still ranking him as one of the coolest players ever. He's my favorite Eagle ever. We did a poll during the pandemic last summer for BGN ranking everyone's favorite Eagle ever. I was running on Twitter doing this bracket, had 64 Eagles players. He won. Again, not a slight. Brian Dawkins, number 7. He's awesome, but there just happens to be players, I think, who are cooler than him. As dominant as he was on the field, you know, I love that Weapon X persona that he has. Just what can you say about Brian Dawkins? Has been said Hall of Famer, everyone's favorite player growing up, and, you know, just someone who just speaks to you the way he, again, has become such a vocal proponent of mental health awareness. As someone who's struggled with mental health issues throughout my life, I'm someone who has bipolar disorder. I've written about it different times for Bleeding Green Nation over the last handful of years. Dawkins, without a doubt, an inspiring presence for me, someone who I absolutely adore, I absolutely love. You know, I'm going to be buried in a Brian Dawkins jersey. And Dawkins talked about this. You could look it up online. I think it was around the time he was getting announced for the Hall of Fame. He's speaking at the NovaCare Complex. And Dawkins is talking about his relationship with Eagles fans. And obviously a super emotional guy, super emotional. I wear my heart on my sleeves. Dawkins wears his heart on his sleeves. That's why I absolutely love the guy. And he's talking about how, you know, the thing that gets to him the most, the thing that he feels most connected, I'm getting choked up saying this because he's getting choked up in the video, is he's saying, you know, the thing that means the most to me is that when people tell him, I'm getting choked up, his relatives, people's relatives get buried in his jerseys. And, you know, what kind of honor must that be as just an athlete to have that transformative effect on people that they're going to get buried in your clothing? And, you know, I don't know when I'll die, if it's 10 years from now, 20, 40, 60, 80, whatever it may be. I will be laid down in a Brian Dawkins jersey. And I have this quote. So when I was saying I did that poll for Bleeding Green Nation for the, when Dawkins won, I kind of wrote a profile about him. I'm just talking about my love for him, how cool he was, the mental health stuff. And my quote read is, Brian Dawkins, my favorite athlete of all time, from his ferocious play to his pregame hype, to his obsession with Wolverine, to his public battle with mental illness, Brian Dawkins is everything I ever wanted from an Eagle. And he quote read it and replied, there are none that has, is, or will walk the face of the earth that is considered strong, that didn't start off at a place of weakness or lack, be it physically, mentally, spiritually, and in most cases, financially. Most choose tough paths and grow stronger over time.
What a guy. Brian Dawkins, Philadelphia legend, maybe, you know, might go down as people's favorite Philadelphia athlete of all time. But they're just players who I think are cooler, more dynamic. As much energy Dawkins brought, he still had this, I think, shroud of mysterious around him. He wasn't, you know, someone who's in the face in the press. He was, you know, he was physical. He was all these things. But these other players have a different type of electricity to them that separates Dawkins from them. Whereas Dawkins is, again, my favorite Eagle ever. But we're talking about this coolness, this it factor. It's a little bit different to me. And that's what's cool about this, for not, pun not intended, but it's obviously a very subjective thing. If you had Brian Dawkins ranked as coolest Eagle ever, I'm not going to argue with him. Again, my favorite athlete of all time. But for the purpose of this, this is just the vibe I'm going for.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Number 5, another player whose tenure in Philadelphia was lived short, but one that will live forever in Eagles fans' hearts. Terrell Owens, T.O., 2004, most impactful acquisition in Philadelphia sports since Moses Malone in the 1983 season. Just changed
everything that until 2017, I had never experienced a sports season like the 2004 Eagles. I was 10 years old. I was in fifth grade. Nothing could be more captivating than that. And from the first game in Philadelphia, playing against the New York Giants, he has those three touchdowns. He's celebrating. He's doing all the touchdown dances all throughout the season, standing on the Dallas Star in the end zone when they go and beat Dallas on Monday Night Football. All of these things. It's an incredible, incredible season that, again, it's a nostalgic thing. Brian, T.O. comes to Philadelphia and I'm 10 years old, and that's something that will live in my mind forever. I just discovered this. Let me see if I could like show it on the camera. I don't know how good it'll work. I had this picture I found just because it's Sixers stuff. We're getting all amped for the season. It's a picture of former Sixers mascot Hip Hop and T.O. holding a custom Sixers jersey. I posted this on Instagram. The guy who runs Mitchell & S's Instagram replied. He's like, oh my God, that's amazing. I said, if you make this jersey, I will buy it instantaneously. Can you see it? Pretty cool, right? Yeah. But T.O., no one owned the city like T.O. did in 2004. Maybe never before. Certainly never since. Again, we've had Nick Foles win a Super Bowl. We have all these things. Nick Foles isn't on this list. Nick Foles is the most important Philadelphia athlete of all time. But he is decidedly a very, very uncool person. And at the same time, that's what makes him such a special figure, is that this dorky Westlake, Texas guy comes in here and comes to this Northeast city, this hardened city, this dorky guy who wears those webbed sneakers or whatever, where they have the different toe holes, comes in here and leaves everyone with a lifetime of memories from just a few short weeks in January and February 2018. So Nick, I love him, but he's definitely not on this list. T.O., again, just had the city in the palm of his hand like no athlete since maybe Iverson in 2001. No athlete since, I mean, everyone loved Rory Halladay in 2010, but like it wasn't that same thing. It's different when it's the Eagles, and his persona is obviously a lot different than the one Doc Halladay had. So T.O., his persona, his electricity, the vibes he gave off, the way he talked to the press, the way he showboated, all of these things. It's one of those players that if he's not on your team, you probably hate him. But if he's on your team, he's the best guy ever. Before the draft, I bought some of T.O.'s wine. It's 81 Vino, I think is the name of the brand. Really good. Not a huge wine guy, but I got to support my guy T.O. Love it. Owns a winery now. That has to be a factor on the list, right? Owns a winery. Who doesn't like that? Good wine. This isn't a plug. This isn't an ad. This isn't a Ken Wood beer thinks Hoagies thing. I just liked his wine. And again, got to love T.O. So I'm going to give him a little from the bleachers boost. Number four, a guy who had two stints in Philadelphia. As Merrill Reese would say, DeSean Jackson. DeSean, miracle at the New Meadowlands, before the Super Bowl, one of the craziest things I've ever seen. The Eagles, whether it's his rookie season, absolutely, absolutely terrorizing the Dallas Cowboys, the way he played in the 2008 NFC Championship game, the punt return against Giants and then the miracle at New Meadowlands, the way he played against Dallas in 2010, his first game back in Philadelphia in, what was that, the 2019 season, obviously his second stint in Philadelphia did not go well. Injury played, goes out with a whimper. But he did have, again, that pass with Jalen Hurts against Dallas past year. Obviously, the Eagles didn't win the game. But when Jalen Hurts connected with DeSean Jackson, I felt like, it was my teen years connecting with my mid to late 20s. And I was like running around my apartment. I was so excited. Again, the Eagles didn't win the game. They didn't win the division. They ended up being a bad loss. Jalen Hurts didn't play too well. I think that was his worst game he played all season. At the same time, magical moment. And, DeSean Jackson is one of those players. We talk about like flashball memories. Took intro to psychology in college, like most people. Was in a 700 person lecture hall. I did not pay attention well, did not study well. It was not an environment conducive to learning for me specifically. But they talk about like flashball memories, these things where, what did you do? Who were you with? What did you eat for dinner the day before the miracle at the New Meadowlands? You have no idea, dude. No, because who would remember that? Can you remember where you were, who you were with, what you were doing during the miracle at the New Meadowlands, during DeSean's first game back in Philadelphia? He has those two touchdowns against Washington, his old team. If you can remember all of those things, DeSean Jackson is the personification of a flashbulb memory for Philadelphia Eagles fans. DeSean has given me so many memories. And again, his first tenure here ended in a murky terms. Second tenure here doesn't really go too well. But ultimately, DeSean, Eagles legend, will be in the Eagles Hall of Fame, maybe the greatest deep threat in NFL history, and just the guy who's given every Eagles fan, so many memories. And the bravado he carried himself with, the way he's hyping himself up, hyping the Eagles team up before that punt return against the Giants in 2010. What more can you say about the guy? Incredible. Number three, second Super Bowl champion on this list, Jason Kelce, warrior, plays throughout injuries, has been the anchor of the Eagles offensive line for a decade, you know, toys with him time, but keeps coming back, keeps grinding. And no matter who's under center, behind him, underneath him, however you want to say it, just consistent excellence, a guy who should be in the Hall of Fame one day. And the main reason he's up here, obviously part of the, you know, he's a great guy in the community, as that's a Twitter inside joke, but just someone who breathes that Philadelphia energy that we all love. But his iconic, legendary, however you want to say it, Super Bowl parade speech will go down in Philadelphia lore, not Philadelphia sports lore, just Philadelphia lore, period, as one of the biggest things that's ever happened in the city. Maybe the biggest thing since the Declaration of Independence. Obviously, I'm joking, but at the same time, not really. So Jason Kelce, short, simple, that speech. Mike Lombardi, you clown, go scram. Jason Kelce, number three. Number two, top two guys. Two guys, you know, I'm not showing my age here. Two guys I never saw play in an Eagles uniform, but I think they're that special. Number two, Jerome Brown, played at the U during their peak, you know, Jimmy Johnson era, when they were, you know, wearing army fatigues, getting off the plane before playing in a bowl game. Jerome Brown, you know, Reggie White was obviously the best defensive player in Eagles history, maybe the best offensive player in NFL history. But Jerome felt like the heart and soul of that team. There's obviously a mystique, mythological aspect of him, that this aura that comes with his untimely early passing. And it's so unfortunate. A guy who could have been a Hall of Famer in his own right, but that just adds to the aura around him and what made him such a captivating presence. You hear guys like Ruben Frank or some of these older reporters and writers talk about Jerome Brown, and, you know, they say he was the greatest locker room presence ever, in terms of a guy who was just so full of energy, so full of life, the funniest guy out there, but at the same time, was dominant, absolute pure dominance. Again, you know, not Reggie White, but again, if he has a long career, maybe he is a guy that could have been a Hall of Famer. And we always think about bring it home for Jerome. And it's unfortunate the Eagles couldn't have done that in the 90s, but I think it was so poetic that the Eagles won the Super Bowl. I believe it was the day before Jerome Brown's birthday, back on February 4th. Let me just double check Jerome Brown's birthday. Jerome Brown birthday. February 4th. So they won the Super Bowl on his 53rd birthday. They won Super Bowl 52 on his 53rd birthday. They finally brought it home. I went to Mitchell Ness that week. Every year, Mitchell Ness has this crazy Super Bowl sale. I never went because the Eagles are like never in the Super Bowl. But that year I went and I got a Jerome Brown jersey. The first time I wore it was during the Super Bowl. And, you know, it felt so poetic. I took a picture of the jersey, put it on Twitter before the game, before I put it on. I was just, bring it home. Bring it home for Jerome. Brandon Graham, a guy who I should have had on this list, but I forgot because I made the list hastily. Brandon Graham, don't be mad at me. Brandon Graham, let's make a top 11 and we'll throw you in there somewhere. It sounds like Brandon Graham, yeah. Mess that one up. It is what it is. Someone's going to get mad in like 2 days when this gets posted. I'm going to remember, should have put that guy in there. But Brandon Graham, legendary figure, cool guy, the way he, you know, Sniper 88 VA in the chat comments right now just reminded me of him. So my bad, BG. You know, whatever. It's June 2nd. I'm talking about the Eagles. It's not going to be a perfect thing. Brandon Graham. Let me do a little Brandon Graham speech. Sure, why not? Let's pencil Brandon Graham in at 2.5. We're redoing the list. Jason Kelce's still three. Jerome Brown's still two. 2.5 on the list. Brandon Graham, underdog figure, gets hated in this town. He's not Earl Thomas. His first defensive line coach hates him. Chip Kelly plays him out of position in a 3-4 defense. Comes back, keeps grinding. You know, the best interview I've ever had during my time as a reporter, the most electric personality I've seen in an Eagles locker room. Again, I haven't been in an Eagles locker room a ton in my life, but when I was there during the Chip Kelly years, no one had this gravitas around him like Brandon Graham. Makes the biggest play in the history of Philadelphia sports. Brandon Graham, forever an Eagles legend. Keep grinding. Everyone used to hate in this town. Now he will forever be a legend. And somehow it seems he keeps getting better and better in age, making his first Pro Bowl appearance in 2020 after being drafted in 2010. A guy who I hope can finish his career in Philadelphia, and I hope a guy who can succeed going into his mid-30s. Brandon Graham, love you forever. You know, he's officially on the list. He's 2.5. 2.5. Jerome Brown, 2.5. Brandon Graham, 3. Jason Kelsey. So we have 3 people from the Super Bowl team on this list. Snipes, you got me on that. You sniped me, literally. You sniped me. So now he's on the list. Someone else, I forget, like Carson Wentz. I don't know. Malcolm Jenkins could have been on here for sure, especially with the social activism stuff is incredible. Some of the other guys, Fletcher Cox. But it's a subjective thing. Brandon Graham has to be on here now. So this is a top 11, I guess. Brandon Graham's 2.5. Make mistakes. I'm not perfect. I'm human. And that's from the bleachers. I'm just a dumb fan ranting about the Eagles. It is what it is. Number one, Randall Cunningham, a guy I didn't see playing Eagles as an Eagle. But from whoever I talk to, older Eagles fans, my dad, family friends, Twitter friends, whoever it is, you know, Michael Vick before Michael Vick played, you know, most of his prime in Philadelphia. Obviously, he had his best season ever in 1998 with the Minnesota Vikings playing with Chris Carter and Randy Moss, his old teammate, Chris Carter. But someone even more so than Vick, if he played now, he'd be a Hall of Famer. I mean, he's not a Hall of Famer now. He's kind of a Hall of Very Good guy. I know he's been on the ballot a couple different times. I actually interviewed him once. What is it? You know, what's the casino on Columbus Boulevard? Delaware Ave, whatever. Parks, whatever. I interviewed him there once when he was on the Hall of Fame ballot in 2014. Wasn't going to say he deserved to be in the Hall of Fame. Didn't want to say he revolutionized that game, but I kind of try to put those words in his mouth because I really believe he did. He'd be better than Lamar Jackson if he played now. The human highlight reel, and we want to steal Dominique Wilkins' nickname for him. He has the play against Harry Carson on Monday Night Football, you know, back in the day playing against the Giants, all these crazy plays, just, you know, that the punt, the, what is it, the 99-yard touchdown against the Bills in Buffalo. He's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. Well, I skipped number 6 on my list. Again, I'm all over the place because I was so amped to go to Terrell Owens. So we're going to cross off. I'm going to redo the list at the end. This guy I liked. I had Mike Quick on here because of his time as an announcer. But I'm going to redo the list. This is live. I'm doing it live. We're having fun here. It's June 2nd on a Wednesday afternoon. Sixers play tonight. Eagles aren't playing for 3 months. Let's do it. New list. New list. We're going to keep Vic at 10. We like that. 9, JP. 8, B-Dub. 7, Dawkins. Mike Quick, you're off the list. Sorry, pal. Number 6, T.O. Number 5, Deshaun Jackson. Number 4, we have Jason Kelsey. And I'm actually going to drop Jerome to number 3. Then we have 2, BG. Not BLG, not Brandon Lee Gowton, but Brandon Graham. And still going to rock with Randall number 1. No Eagle has ever looked cooler than Randall Cunningham wearing that white jersey and those silver pants. That's my favorite Eagles look ever, ever, ever. And I think it's because of Randall Cunningham. Let's look up, like, there's some crazy posters of Randall Cunningham. Randall Cunningham poster. Let's see. Oh, like the Rocket Randall Cunningham. He has the Ultimate Weapon Sports Illustrated cover, iconic, doing that kind of like Tim Tebow jump throw. Another Sports Illustrated cover where he's juking out Monday Night Madness. You know, Randall Cunningham, the Eagles smash the Cowboys. Who wouldn't love that? And then the one where he's in space, Rocket Randall Cunningham. That's something I want on my wall. Like, I want that framed and signed in my office. And Embiid, we got Ducky here. Wait, they said that? No. No. Oh, my God. We're doing this live on the podcast. No. Small meniscus tear. Oh, my God. I want to die. Managing potential swelling and pain on the knee will be. Well, we're going to end this podcast on a downer. I have to, like, answer, like, 35 texts. Yeah, want to die. It is what it is. Got this list out. Honestly, if that happened before I do this, I would have been so bummed out and didn't do the podcast. So we're ending this on a whimper. Whatever. Subscribe on Apple, Spotify, whatever. Leave us a 5-star review. Day to day, but it hurts. I mean, it says it's a small meniscus tear. I don't know how that's day to day. You know, a small tear. I mean, that's still a tear as his meniscus. Well, that's a bummer. Not amped now. But, you know, shout out to all these coolest Eagles players ever, all these guys I've listed. All great guys, all Eagles legends. Life sucks. Go Sixers. Go Ben Simmons. Go Birds. Keep leading green. Ending on a whimper. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry, whoever. However you don't identify yourself, I'm sorry it ends like this. But it is what it is. Keep leading green.